Chapter 2. Helotine, Canticus Southern Warzone. The ambush had come swiftly, leaving Varlin and his brothers pinned down and estranged from their commanding officer. Sergeant Iaptus was further up the street, shouting vainly against the din of exploding shells and solid shot raining down on half his squad. Even through the carnage, Varlin could see Iaptus had his storm shield raised and was using it to ward off the worst of the frag. From a distance, he looked angry, the hammer in his gauntleted fist rippling with energy to match his rising temper. No warrior ever liked to be trapped by his enemy, especially when he was used to soaring across the battlefield on jets of fire. Varlin activated the vox feed in his battle helm. Comms had been scratchy ever since the last hit. He saw Iaptus nod, then smack the vocalizer of his own helm, and after a few seconds of crackling static, the sergeant's voice bled through. "Push up with the rest of the squad!" He battle-signed to a tower fortified by flak board and razor wire. From it, a static cannon emplacement was ripping up most of the plaza where his squad were currently hemmed in.
"Neutralize that gun nest, then we retake the high ground and move west along..."
An explosion interrupted the sergeant's orders, forcing him back into cover as the heretics brought up a pair of rocket crews. Two infantry squads in varying degrees of combat efficacy were currently stymied until Iaptus could establish territorial dominance. A burst of flame drew Varlin's attention as Brother Herodor maintained the small cordon the salamanders did control. With the Space Marines essentially penned in by heavy artillery from above, the heretic infantry forces were attempting to overrun them on the ground. They hadn't reckoned on Salamander's tenacity. The street where the Fireborn hunkered down was broad and long, offering little in the way of cover. They had been marching in dispersed formation when the attack came. The area was supposed to have been cleared, but something got through. A battalion's worth of something. As soon as the ambush hit, after Agrek and Nemis went down, the rest of the salamanders darted into alcoves and doorways. Black Legion havocs in the buildings, overlooking the road, were quick to establish a punitive firing pattern. Hard, barking chatter from autocannons and heavy bolters became a constant drone. Three separate breakouts were attempted. All failed. The last one had killed Krator. He was lying face down in the middle of the road, his armor shot to pieces. Snatching glimpses of their enemy between salvos, Varlin counted three squads of legionnaires. The rest were cultists, a ragged band of half-armored but well-supplied human soldiery. Some, judging by their scratched-out livery, were ex-Helotine defenders. Man was easy prey for chaos. His fear and selfishness made him weak. Varlin tried not to despise the turncoats for that. They had merely succumbed to instinct. It didn't mean he would find any impediment to ending their lives, however. For once on the path to damnation, even a single footstep cannot be taken back. Zende had once said that, and all salamanders heeded his wisdom. Chaos was a moral choice, not a disease. The mind had to be willing for the spirit to suffer.
"Must be close to 50 or 60 up there."
The voice that came from Varlin's left belonged to Naib and was altogether too eager. He wore a Mark VI battle helm with an extended nose cone. Part of the helmet's structure had also been altered to accommodate a bionic eye in place of the left retinal lens.
"Are you concerned for your safety, brother? I can protect you."
Naib laughed. The humor suited him.
"Your protection? Now that is something to be feared."
In the wake of the explosion, the smoke concealing Iaptus and the rest of the squad was clearing. They were less than 20 meters in front of them, but with the amount of solid shot and las shot stitching the rockcrete between the two halves of the squad, it may as well have been a gulf. Varlin's tactical display reported no casualties. Iaptus's comm rune lit up again, interrupting Varlin and Naib.
Belay order to advance and hold position. Air support inbound.
He's pinned, said Naib, afforded an enhanced view through his bionic. The explosion had been a marker, and now every targeter the Black Legionnaires had was aimed at Iaptus and his half of the squad. Varlin scoured the rooftops. The jump pack felt heavy on his back. He had not been an assault marine long, but he already felt the same frustration as the veterans in his squad, at their wings being metaphorically clipped.
"We are useless down here," he muttered.
Still no point of entry presented itself through the enemy's defences, but amidst the smoke he did see a third squad of heavies moving up. More power armour, toting las cannons and plasma guns, enough to wipe out all three Salamander's squads.
"How long for that air support, Sergeant?" Varlin asked over the vox.
"Soon. Just be ready."
Varlin switched the feed to Sergeant Kessoth, who was leading the stalled infantry wave on the opposite side of the street.
"Sergeant Kessoth, can you advance and concentrate fire on that roof?"
Varlin rune-marked the location on his tac display and transferred it to the sergeant's feed. There was a slight pause before Kessoth's deep voice responded.
"In Vulcan's name, we will try, brother."
In the street, the other squad intensified their return fire, but it was largely ineffective. Seven muzzle flares roared into life, while at the same time Kessoth led his men out into the open, pushing for an advanced position and a better line of fire.
"If he makes that run, we must be ready to move," said Varlin.
Naib nodded, then battle-signed to the rest of the squad, who were strung out along the street in alcoves and doorways. Two crouched down behind Kessoth's upturned rhino that the sergeant's squad had been quick to vacate before it exploded. The wreck was still burning and spewing smoke. Above the stricken Imperial troops came the unmistakable engine drone of a Storm Talon. On the rooftop, the third Havoc squad rushed into position, trying to put some cover between themselves and the aerial threat. Several cultists turned and leveled weapons at the gunship. The high-pitched whine of an assault cannon superseded the engine drone. 14 cultists were sprayed across the adjoining rooftops, rendered to bloody chunks by the Storm Talon's spinning nose mount. The gunship hove into view, weapons flaring. It chased down a second group of cultists, who had fled at the sight of their disintegration, and were headed for a way off the roof. Kessoth pushed up. His squad was taking fire, and through the carnage, Varlin thought he saw one of the Fireborn crumple from a direct las cannon hit, but his view was obscured and uncertain. He glanced back to Sergeant Iaptus, still hemmed in and taking heavy fire.
"Get ready,"
he voxed to the others. They would need to break cover and quickly boost jump packs. A single thrust should provide enough elevation to climb the first roof. From there they could... A sudden, ululating screech shattered Varlin's battle plan. Something fast, a flyer, swept in overhead. The Storm Talon saw it too. Its left turbofan switched to maximum rotation as the gunship tried to turn. The underslung assault cannon was pivoting on its limited axis when a shadow descended on the gunship. In seconds, its glacis was ripped away, the pilot with it. Varlin saw his flailing body fall to the ground somewhere below. His eyes met those of the pilot's slayer. Neck craned over its kill, wings at full span, it was akin to some immense but metallic bird of prey. The uglier truth was this was a demon engine, something that had once been a man and machine, but had been turned through the ruin of chaos into an abomination. Shrieking a war cry, the monstrous Helldrake cast the wreckage of the Storm Talon down and soared up into the smoke and shadow. Distant Lasfire chased it from somewhere deep in the city. It was enough to force the monster to disengage, but too late to save the Storm Talon. It fell like a dying angel, striking the ground with lethal finality. A second explosion rocked the embattled salamanders as the burning gunship hit Kessoth and his squad, who were scattered by the blast. The cheer that went up from the cultists dragged down on Varlin's resolve like an anchor, as did the sight of Kessoth's squad being so brutally neutralized. Before the smoke had cleared, heavy fire came down again from the towers and forced what was left of the battered salamanders who were in the open into retreat.
Merciful Vulcan!
Nyeb watched the beleaguered warriors drag their sergeant with them, leaving two more for the apothecary's reductor. Varlin's attention was on the second Havoc squad, scrambling back across the rooftops, now the threat of the gunship had been ruthlessly dealt with. There was no sign of the murderous Helldrake, but its contribution had been telling. Unmolested, the Havocs could circle around and find a vantage over Iapetus's position. Without cover, the sergeant and the Fireborn with him would be annihilated.
Sergeant Iapetus, enemy high to your flank.
Varlin's warning stopped short when the dead return came back. The Vox was down again.
Blood of the Primarch, he swore.
Driven back into cover, neither half of the squad had a good sight line to the other. Varlin half turned, careful to give the bulky jump pack he was wearing some room.
Battle sign ineffective. Plan Beta? Asked Nyeb. 2 crack grenades on this wall. We effect an insertion, work our way up through the structure.
If this fails, brother, we bring the wall down on top of us, reduce our cover to rubble, and become target practice for those Havocs up there.
Then hope it does not fail.
Affirmative.
Both pinned their charges in place and primed them. Then they hunkered down, Varlin on one side, Nyeb the other. The rest of the squad waited as the tactical feed through their retinal lenses divulged the strategy.
Sergeant Cadoran,
Varlin addressed the only officer he had comms with who was still conscious.
We are effecting an insertion and will attempt to gain a counter-attacking vector through the structure. Hold firm.
Holding, brother, replied Cadoran. Bring them hell.
Firing,
cried Nyeb a second later. An explosion rippled across the street, but not from enemy incendiaries this time. Hot air, dust, and debris plumed out in a wide, expanding cone from the point where the salamanders had attached their crack grenades. As the smoke began to clear, a ragged hole large enough for a space marine was revealed.
Ingress now!
Nyeb led them in, Varlin hanging back to usher in the rest. Once far enough inside, the noise from the street lessened, but only marginally. It was dark, the city evacuated several weeks ago and cluttered with debris. Part of the upper floor had caved in after some previous bombardment. A wide lobby area was dominated by an ornamental prayer fountain. Clouded by dust, the water in the fountain was rimmed at the edges where a ruddy scum had developed. Pieces of broken masonry, timber, and brickwork from the sundered upper floors jutted from its shallow basin. Quickly establishing a perimeter, the 5 Fireborn, led by Varlin, tromped noisily across the lower floor. Debris crunched underfoot, and they smashed bodily through the remains of a narrow doorframe. Urgency fueled their steps, and the certain knowledge that if they delayed, their sergeant and the rest of their squad were dead. Across a long hallway, a shaft of light indicated a breach in the ceiling and a possible route onto the roof.
Move up,
Varlin said quietly across the Vox. They moved in single file, with Kaidak at the back, maintaining rear guard. Targeters bled grainy red sightlines into the darkness, but picked up on nothing. By now, the squad had switched to low light vision through their retinal lenses, but so far nothing stood out. It was a large space, badly damaged, and that meant a lot of places to hide. Reaching the shaft of light, the salamanders found themselves in a stairway large enough to accommodate the squad. A few splintered timbers and the odd broken balustrade intruded into a potential jump route that led all the way to the roof. Brother Sorad stepped up to clear the wreckage and put a larger hole in the ceiling through which the light was filtering. He got his bolt pistol to head height when something hit him, hard, and flung him across the room. Sorad hit the wall, his bolt pistol up and firing. Brass shells bounced off a hide of hulking warplate, its servos groaning with the effort of propelling a Terminator-armored monster across the room. Varlin reacted, releasing a jet of promethium from his flamer just as Sorad's hand was severed from his wrist, taking his sidearm with it. The burr of the Terminator's chainblade sounded like a challenge as he turned to declare his allegiance to his enemies in some dark tongue. Clad in thick black battleplate with a stiffened topknot of indigo hair rising from the crown of his head, the Terminator was massive, easily twice as wide as the power-armored assault marines, and half again as tall. Though he wore the Eye of Horus and Sigil of the Despoiler, the Terminator was not a pure-blood warrior of the Black Legion. Human flesh stretched across his immense chest plate. Strips of skin like gone falons hung from his greaves and shoulder guards. Each cured and leathery offering was daubed with the crescent rune of Slaanesh, the chaos god of carnal pleasures and excess. Many warbands had gone on bended knee before the one they called Warmaster, and he had accepted them all and seen his legions grow. This particular horde called themselves the Children of Torment, reveling in the torture and pain they had subjected Helatine to. That legacy of pain continued with Sorad. With a growl that came closer to ecstasy than fury, the black-clad Terminator plunged the churning teeth of his chainblade into Sorad's torso. Driven by the traitor's immense strength and mounted to a power fist, the salamander was brutally gutted. Naeb roared, voicing his anguish at the sight of a brother slain so callously, and went in with his chainsword. None could fault Naeb's bravery, but he was outmatched, and the Terminator swatted him aside even as he lifted Sorad off his feet, impaled on the still-turning chainblade. Blood fountained against the monster's graven armor, drooling into sigils and the simulacra of screaming faces. For a moment, as they drank in the blood, it was as if they actually were screaming, and Varlin shook his head to banish the image from his mind. He triggered his flamer again, sending a gout of promethium over the monster and forcing him back a step. Time was slipping away, precious seconds that could make the difference between life and death for Iaptus and the others. But this monster had come as if from nowhere.
Naeb, the roof!
Varlin gestured to the upper floor. Naeb was back on his feet and eager for vengeance, but duty prevailed. Decius and Kaidak were circling the monster. He had no helmet, his face ravaged by conflict and the entropy of the warp. Spiked chains hung from his battle gear, which was ancient and war-beaten. Mounted to his wrist were two bolters, combined to fire in unison. It was archaic, not as potent as the storm bolters used by the Chapter Terminators, but could still tear an armored space marine apart with enough concentration of firepower. Muzzle flash brightened the gloom, and the heavy boom of bolter shells accompanied it. Kydag boosted to avoid the storm of rounds spitting from the combi bolter. Dersius was about to attack when Varlin stopped him.
Go now!
Kydag was grounded where the ceiling jutted over him, but Naheb and Dersius soared upward on tongues of flame, their twin fusillade clearing the wreckage above. The backwash from their boosted jump packs spilled down into the room below, filling it with a conflagration. Varlin crouched and let the fire wash over his armor, seeking Kydag through the heat haze. A glancing hit from the Terminator's chain fist sent Kydag sprawling and half-wrenched his helmet off. Kydag did the rest, tearing away the seals between helm and gorget with his gauntleted hand. Eyes like burning coals glared back at the monster. Like all sons of Nocturne, Kydak's skin was onyx black. It was almost invisible in the darkness. In his anger, his eyes became dagger slits of blood red. The Terminator charged Kydag, and at the same time, Varlin pushed himself up into a run, tossing a frag grenade in the monster's midst. The close detonation staggered the Terminator, but not for long. He also turned, his hellish glare fixed on Varlin, who stood his ground and braced his flamer. With a brief spurt of ignition, Kydag leapt onto the Terminator's back and thrust downward with his chainsword, finding the gap between gorget and neck. Pipes, cabling, and servo lines were all shredded. Spitting machine oil quickly became blood as the churning teeth bit into flesh.
Burn it!
Kydag snarled, shouting to be heard. Varlin fed the Terminator a burst of promethium, dousing the monster's torso and face. Kydag snarled as the flames lapped up and over him too, but clung on as his foe flailed and stomped. His hair was on fire, but Kydag would not relent and roared through the pain. Bellowing, trying to dislodge the salamander on his back, the Terminator brought up his combi bolter. As his arm came around, brass shells roaring from the gun mouth, Varlin charged. Boosted across the room by his jump pack, he hit the Terminator hard and forced his aim. A shell clipped Kydag, tearing him off the monster's back, but three more punched through the Terminator's skull and detonated. Decapitated, combi bolter still chugging out rounds into the floor, the Terminator staggered one more step and then fell. Kydak's chainsword was still lodged in the stump of what remained of the monster's head. He was getting to his feet and going over to retrieve the weapon when Varlin asked, "Where did that thing come from?" Kydag shook his head, wrenching his blade free. It was damaged. Some of the teeth were broken and the motor had given out.
"Machine spirit be damned," he hissed.
Varlin peered into the shadows from where the attack had first come, but could see nothing of significance. When he was certain nothing else was coming out of the dark at them, he looked up.
"Are you injured?" he asked.
"Just wrathful."
Kydak's eyes blazed without his battle helm, but it was something cold and hollow that burned behind them. Craning their necks towards where Naheb and Dersius had forced a path through the ceiling, both salamanders got into position, then simultaneously engaged their jump engines. They burst up through the roof, trailing fire into a murky night, clouded with smoke. They found their comrades quickly. Naheb and Dersius were already amongst the Havocs, having joined up with Iaptus and the others. A second squad of renegades had moved into position after Varlin's battle brothers, intending to bracket them in, but were surprised when two further salamanders emerged amongst them. Kydag was first to react. He impaled one legionnaire in the neck, ramming his dulled chainsword through the warrior's gorget like a pike. Varlin torched the other two with a short burst of fiery promethium, letting his partner finish them as they cooked in their armor.
"Fire and blood, they're everywhere," snarled Kydak, searching for the next fight.
From his vantage on the rooftop, Varlin's gaze was drawn downward. An armored column was moving in from the west. 5 vehicles. He recognized the tank commander riding up in the cupola, Akadin Xantho. 2 more heavy-armored Vindicators rolled in from the north, as well as a pair of massive Redeemers. In the streets below, what Varlin could see of them, the cultists panicked. The legionnaires held on grimly, the other Havocs turning their autocannons and heavy bolters on the salamander's tanks. One of the predators ground to a halt, its turret rising as solid shot ricocheted ineffectually off its hull. Twin-linked side sponson mounts angled in unison to meet the same target. The hum of power generators grew to a shriek as the capacitors reached a critical mass and unleashed laser death on the Havocs. Power armor shredded apart like flakboard as 3 more equally potent salvos lanced from the other predators. In a few violent, energy-charged seconds, the Havocs were gone, with only a faint crackle of corpuscent to mark their destruction. The cannons swung around on their turrets, tracking fresh targets and vaporizing cultists with every energy discharge. With a command Varlin couldn't hear over the battle, Xantho unleashed the Redeemers. Avenues and tunnels, all the clandestine crawl spaces the heretics had used to effect their ambush, were filled with flame. He'd seen enough. Varlin urged Kydak onwards, and as the burning below commenced, the assault marines leapt into one of the heretic gun nests and cut down its crew. Most were already running anyway, and the salamanders snarled at the backs of their foes as they fled. It didn't stop either one shooting them down. An enemy unwilling to fight face to face and eye to eye was worthy only of contempt, and so would be put down thusly. The deaths of the crew were scarcely footnotes in the ongoing saga of the war on Helatine. After that, heretical resistance crumbled as the will to fight bled from them. It bled all over the streets in runnels. Scraps of the fleeing cultists survived, as vermin always did when faced with a cleansing fire. Some reached tunnels, hidden culverts, and side streets. Their escape would afford them a little more life. It would be measured in minutes or days only. Salamanders were patient. They could wait until the fire became a conflagration for all these thrice-damned souls to burn in. Xantho rode down the rest, watching impassively from his land raider's cupola as cultists fell screaming beneath the tracks. It was not music to his ears, as some warriors might claim. It was merely war. But that did not make it any less satisfying. He had a vengeful streak, the tank commander. He found it amply slaked in those final moments of the battle. Varlin watched as Kydak wrecked the autocannon that had been strafing the road. With the battle over, there seemed little else to occupy his fading need for violence. Below, the remnants of Kessoth's and Kadoran's squads had moved into the open and were laying down fire on the other towers and weapon emplacements. 1 tower collapsed, seemingly capitulating against the onslaught. Another simply fell silent, an empty shell haunted by terrified ghosts who had looked true fury in the eye and blinked. Salamanders had that effect.
"With Xantho here," said Kydak, stepping up to the edge of the cavernous hole they had used to breach the tower. "That means he has either secured the northern district of the city in much shorter order than any of us could have hoped for, or..."
Varlin absorbed the scene below, too, and guessed at the other warrior's inference. He has surrendered it on Captain Drakgard's orders to pull our souls from hellfire.
Takes the edge off, doesn't it?
Varlin did not answer. Sigils daubed in what he assumed was blood on the walls had caught his eye. As a space marine, he was largely immune to such debased iconography, but it sent a twinge of unease running through him. He doused the sigils in fire before muttering,
"Strange. What is?"
asked Kydak, turning around to face him. Even Chaos sigils had a pattern. They were each fashioned in such a way as to show and garner allegiance from some demonic patron. The blood graffiti in the nest conflicted as if more than one potentate of ruin were being called upon. It led Varlin to speculate how many enemies were on Helatine, and which of those had yet to reveal themselves. Ever was it the way with Chaos in his experience? Nothing was ever as it seemed, a fact that extended to an incident during his scout training back on Nocturne. The memory grew sharp in his mind. Distant gunfire, the last echoes of a battle fought and won, brought him back. No sense in lingering on that now.
Nothing,
he lied, letting his suspicions rest. Master of Recruits, Barken, had always remonstrated with Varlin for his over-inquisitive mind, and here he was again. Part of him wished Barken were here now. His wisdom would be greatly appreciated. But Varlin had left him behind on Nocturne. That door was closed to him. It wasn't even his home world. That, too, was gone. And how he missed it. He rejoined Kydak as he looked out of the sundered gun nest. The battle was over. The tanks had seen to that, and Salamander's infantry was quickly mopping up what little resistance did remain.
"What happened in the stairwell, brother?" he asked.
Kydak looked confused.
"We fought and killed an enemy combatant. I don't follow."
"There was a death wish in your eyes," said Varlin.
"I've seen rage like that before, and his path was far from glorious." "Speak plainly, Varlin. We have been battle brothers for only a short time, but you've never been cryptic with me. Don't start now. Who do I remind you of?"
"Very well. He was a fire drake, a sergeant before that, Zek Tsugan." Kydak recognized the name.
"The defector?"
"No one has said he defected."
"But they're hunting him."
"Yes."
"And you're likening me to him?"
"You are as reckless as he was. You fought as one, not a squad. You defied every combat doctrine." Kydak scowled, abruptly disinterested.
"We are alive. He is not." "You're a pragmatist, Varlin. I've heard you don't always follow orders directly. I thought you would understand." "Improvisation and adaption, not a reckless desire to kill or die in the attempt, no matter the cost."
"When Iaptus takes issue with my tactics, then I shall listen. Until then..."
Kydak shouldered Varlin out of the way and put one foot on the lip of the ragged window crater.
"I follow my own doctrine, brother. It's simple,"
he said, half turning so Varlin could see the coldness of his eyes again.
"Do whatever it takes to win."
Iaptus was below with the others.
"Time to regroup," said Kydak, and leapt from the window.
Varlin followed, descending from the seven-story tower on heat-hazing jets of thrust from his jump pack. Rockcrete split underfoot as he landed hard, sending out a web of impact cracks across the roadway. He saw Kydak nod to their comrades, who returned similarly restrained responses. Taciturn, perceived as maudlin, even distant, Kydak had few he would consider friends. Varlin, however, was welcomed back warmly. Decius clapped him on the shoulder,
Even Naib, who was suffering with an injury from where the Terminator had struck him, managed a half-embrace.
In Vulcan's name, brother!
With the battle effectively over, Naib had clamped his war helm to his thigh. His breathing was a little laboured, but he smiled broadly at his friend.
You led us from that death trap, Valin, and Iaptus knows it.
Iaptus, his ornate weapons now sheathed to his armour, approached. His face was as stern as always, but he allowed a tiny crack in his stony facade.
Well met, Valin.
Unlike the others, Iaptus wore a veteran's battle plate. His Mark III, so-called iron armor, had scales worked into the cuirass and greaves. Even his jump pack was ornate, each of the exhaust vents crafted to resemble a drake's snarling mouth. Every time he saw him, Valin was reminded of everything he wanted to be and how he wished to serve.
Brother Sergeant,
Valin's tone bordered on reverent, and he bowed his head before meeting Iaptus's gaze again.
You have my gratitude, and the gratitude of this squad, brother. I shall see to it Captain Drakkard hears of your bravery and ingenuity.
I was not alone. My brothers,
Valin gestured to Dercius, Naib, and Kydak, were alongside me.
Shoulder to shoulder,
said Naib proudly. Dercius nodded. Kydak gave a faint sniff of what might have been contempt. Valin bristled, but let it go.
I was merely doing my duty, Sergeant, he said instead. Aye, and well,
Iaptus replied, as my masters have instructed.
Not well enough for Sorad,
said Kydak, somewhat acerbically.
He lies dead. His duty ended.
Iaptus turned to the other salamander.
And he will be missed. Sepelius will be here soon.
Iaptus gestured to Naib.
Get him to the apothecary as soon as Sepelius has harvested the fallen. I don't want us to be further under strength for whatever our captain would have us do next. I must convene with Sergeant Xantho. Valin, the squad is yours until I return.
Iaptus turned to go to speak with Xantho, leaving Valin with the others. Dercius pointed towards the edge of the city district, where a host of rhinos was making its way along the crater-strewn road.
There, he said. Sepelius will be amongst them.
Then carry me, brother, Naib replied, staggering, for I think my Laraman's cells have been overly taxed already.
Blood was still leaking freely from his damaged plastron, but he managed to smile thinly.
You will need a tech marine to look at that armor too, brother,
added Dercius, supporting Naib under the shoulder. Together the two began limping towards the oncoming entourage of support vehicles.
Does your stoic pragmatism ever meet with empathy or sympathy, brother?
Naib jibed with good humor.
Or are you simply absent those parts of your personality?
Dercius was a broad-shouldered warrior, easily the stockiest in the squad. He was a methodical thinker, dogged and determined, but not predisposed towards command. For a few seconds, he stared blankly at Naib until he realized he was gently being made fun of. Valin was certain his booming laughter would be heard all the way back at camp. Kydak was about to follow when Valin grabbed his arm to stop him.
You and I will speak again, Kydak. Oh, yes? Have you not already said your piece, brother?
He didn't look remotely concerned about being physically restrained. Privately, Valin wondered how far he could push this before Kydak reacted.
Whatever your issue towards me, I won't have it mar the efficacy of this squad.
Mar the efficacy?
He lowered his voice.
Do you hear yourself, Valin? Iaptus's backslap has gone to your head, brother. This squad is 90% efficacious. It has been thus since we lost Sorad. I have no distemper towards you. I am angry for reasons you could not understand. But I assure you, brother,
He leaned in close and slowly removed Varlin's hand from his arm.
They have absolutely nothing to do with you.
A little on the back foot, Varlin let him go.
Questions could wait. Some had waited years, ever since the fire canyons on Nocturne and what he had seen amidst the smoke. Kydak and the Terminator they had killed, and the conflicting sigils in the gun nest were the latest, but also the most pressing. As he followed after Kydak, a thought went through his head.
Vulcan ward us from whatever is to come.
An ill feeling was growing within him. Ever since they had set foot on Helatine, it had been there, almost like a premonition.